SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside and Scott Wetzel on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Here we go on a Wednesday edition of Moneyline, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, Scott Wetzel, and we are roughly, Scott, about 30 or so hours out from the kickoff of the NFL season. Buffalo Bills, Los Angeles Rams. I'm excited, Scott. I know you are, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Although I must say, push comes to shove, if I had one bet who's winning the Super Bowl, I've yet to decide. Is that possible after
it's possible.
You know, 3-4 months of debating and issuing and this and that, right? But when you really just kind of like close the windows and shut the curtains and just you and the computer or you and your newspaper, old school, one bet who's winning it. No hunches, no long shots, no thing. You know, who, you know, is it going to be Buffalo? I don't know. I don't know, Don. Have you isolated one team if you had to?
It's actually funny you said that because I've been geeked up on the Buffalo Bills for quite a few months now, and I still think they're going to end up being my wager. But the reason why we're talking wagers here is FanDuel does offer a $200 bet on the NFL season, but it's only for NFL futures, meaning pick the Super Bowl team, and whatever team you get, let's just say it's the Buffalo Bills, who are currently listed at 6-1 price. $200, you know, you're going to win, what, $1,200 back on that bet. But having said that, they're going to give you $20 for each win, Scott, along the way. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up again is I haven't placed my wager yet. And I don't know why I'm stopped here on the Buffalo Bills, because I start to say to myself, do I want the 6-1 bet, or do I want to start swinging a little bit more for the fences here on a team that could possibly win at least 10 games to get your money back, and then you see what you can do some damage in the playoffs? I got to tell you, just walking around the pup today, 14-1, Chargers. Not even to say that I think the Chargers are the best team in the AFC. I'm just looking for more odds as opposed to just picking the winner, Scott. What's wrong with me? Am I doing this wrong?
Yeah. It's like the horse racing guy who says, boy, I love Billy's Bobby. He's 10-1. And then you tell him, no, the odds drop down to 6-1. Oh, I don't like him then. Well, what do you mean you don't like him? What's the difference what the odds are? You think the horse is going to win or not? It doesn't matter what the odds are. So it's the same thing here. I mean, I know what you're saying, but yeah, that is the wrong
approach. Don't outsmart yourself.
Forget
yeah, it is.
Right.
It absolutely is. I mean,
you know.
You are so true on that, too, because I'm getting caught up because I have, if you ask me right now, Donnie, no bet, who wins the Super Bowl? I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills. And then we'll go, Donnie, who are you going to bet? Well, I don't know if I want to bet the Bills because I want a little bit better of a price here. I don't think I need to outsmart myself, but it would be nice if that, you know, maybe in the next 10 or 12 hours, I get a little 6-1, go to 7-1. I mean, help me out over here with this with a little bit better odds, but I can't wait because you're right. The season is upon us here, and we are going to do so much armchair quarterbacking here each and every week because tomorrow, if the Buffalo Bills do get beat by the Los Angeles Rams, I knew it, Scott. Bills weren't good enough to win the Super Bowl after week one.
Yeah, right? The test that they had, national TV, chance to get back into the fold here, and they blew it out, and they choke every single time, right? Yeah, I could see that. There are question marks about every team. You know, is Brady really going to be around? And now more stories about him and his wife aren't talking anymore. And if you don't think that's going to play a role with him, you're kidding yourself. It's Kansas City without Tyreek Hill. I have my doubts about them. The Rams, I don't like the fact that the Rams gave all that money to all those players. And the NFL, boy, that just puts complacency in your front seat there. I don't like the Packers at all. Chargers, okay. But, you know, are they going to go from a team that didn't even make the playoffs to winning a Super Bowl? You know, Denver, you know, you think with Russell Wilson maybe, but I'm kind of isolated still on the Cincinnati Bengals. I think I'm one of the few that think the Bengals are going to repeat the success they had from last year.
I'm with you, though, Scott, on that, on the Bengals. It was one of those teams where after the Super Bowl, I didn't give much attention to, but then looking over the rosters and seeing what they bring to the table, and as long as we get a healthy Joe Burrow, which outside of the appendectomy here for the offseason, everything seems like it's going to be a go. The talent is there. They're as talented just about as any team overall in the league, so we'll see what happens on that end of it. But we do have Major League Baseball actually already underway. A doubleheader today in Pittsburgh. The New York Mets currently with a 1-0 lead over the Pirates. Pirates actually threatened in the first inning with runners on second and third, were able to score one. But as I see also in the top of the second inning, second and third for the Mets, which it looks like the Pirates did get out of. So we sit at a minus 380 price and an over eight. I actually had a team total here on the over for the New York Mets. So that's what I'm cheering on here. But bigger picture here. Mets Braves, Scott, tied up now. Both of these teams are going to be in action today. As I said, two for the Mets, one for the Braves. Boy, oh boy. I mean, you talk a roller coaster ride here so far in the NL East.
Yeah. How about, you know, the Braves were over four to one, Donnie, on Friday, still to win that division. Yep. I pointed out to my audience in the morning. I was like, that's good. You know, I hate that word value, but I said, that's a nice bet. I mean, you're getting over 4-1, and I think they were two out at the time. I said, the Mets are falling, and this was even before they lost 2-3 to Washington. And I said, the Braves are playing great, and the Braves have been playing great for 3 months now. This team is not letting up. So, and now here they are even, which is amazing. So, crazy.
There's a lot to like about the Atlanta Braves. Seems like they're doing the same thing, Scott, they did last year. Fly under the radar for three quarters of the season and then just hit that gas pedal. Because once they got within one of the Mets about a month and a half ago, I said, oh, boy, here we go. Braves are going to overtake the Mets. Then they fall back five or six games. And before you can blink your eye, they're tied up again. And we'll see how it rolls out because, theoretically, they could have the division lead. Strider's on the mound versus Oakland. So you would figure a minus 300 price. They're an automatic winner in that ball game. But, hey, Major League Baseball, you got to play the games. You got to win them on the field. We got a lot to talk about today, a lot of fun topics. If you want to join the show with Scott and I, you can. 844-843-6879. It's a Wednesday, one day away from the start of the NFL season. I can't wait. Come on back with us.
We could give you some BS saying we get off on the high-minded calculations and analysis. Really, we mostly do it for the fun. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, Wednesdays with Wetzel right here on Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. And the phone lines, they never sleep, 844-843-6879. Let's bring the heat right here on a Wednesday. Moose is on the line, ready to kick it off, as we said, about 30 hours from the start of the NFL season. Moose, what's good today?
Man, I tell you what's good. I went up to the Racino this morning. I hit like the third pool. I hit a ticket for $1,166.
Oh, so man, that's how you open the day.
Yep. I sent JP a picture of the ticket too. Hey, ooh. I have to tell you, DRS. I think Wednesday has become one of my favorite times to call in because of having Scott on the show.
There you go. And it's Wednesdays with Wetzel. Scott, that's what we do here.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit of Kabasi. Okay, so when you get a chance, Google Dearborn Kabasi out of Dearborn, Michigan. I think that they have absolutely some of the best. And for people that go into the store and get like that Sugardale ground up, what they call Kabasi, that is not Kabasi. So how I like to prepare my Kabasi, I will cut it at an angle in about an inch and a half increments around the ring. Then I'll take a pan and I'll put a steamer basket in it. I'll bring the water up to the steamer basket level. Then I'll do a couple shots of Liam Perrine's Worcestershire. So bring that to the boil. I'll steam my kabasi up. You have to try it that way. Make yourself up a little cocktail sauce, some ketchup, some creamy horseradish mustard, a little bit of lemon juice, and a shot or two of Worcestershire. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So... I got to tell you guys, it's a great time of year to be a sports fan in Ohio. I mean, things are just kicking off all around us out here, you know. And something that's overlooked as well, I think, Friday night under the lights with the high school football teams. Mm-hmm. That's a kick. That is an absolute kick. But looking
Moose,
forward
get
to
up the Massillon. You ever been up the Massillon over there?
Massillon Tigers, you bet.
There you go. Look at that.
I, um, I, I follow during the high school playoffs, and a lot of the teams have to go through Massillon. You know, you have Cincinnati Moeller, you got the Tigers, you got the Cleveland Catholic Schools, you got the boys coming out of the Steel Valley in Youngstown. My team, the Ursuline Irish, they are absolutely destroying people this year, so that's going to be exciting. So, you make a weekend of it, go down to the Hall of Fame. You know?
There you go. I've been there a couple times. Moose, what do people think about the Browns? Give me a consensus. Are they
give me the temperature.
Give me the temperature on the Browns. Successful season, not successful? You're rooting for him? Do you like Watson? Give me the general idea of most Cleveland Brown fans in your area.
Very, very divided. Very divided. I was a devout Browns fan. And it's just kind of, just for lack of better terms, left a bad taste in my mouth with all that they gave up for Watson. But then you have some knuckleheads taking the allegations light. You know, those are some serious allegations. And when I personally, I think the Browns are going to be under their team total wins this year, absolutely. So, but if I had to bet a future, I would bet a future on either Hunt and Chubb going over their rushing yards, or maybe do a combined over for the rushing yards. But I tell you what, Scotty, I cannot wait for this Carolina game because Mayfield has been opening up his mouth and he's going to get stomped. You know what? I'm saying he's going to be on his back four times in one pick.
Wow. I thought they liked Baker there. I guess not, huh?
He's the enemy of the people now. He is the enemy of the people. That's our Cleveland correspondent right there, Scott. Fired up for Wednesdays with Wetzel. And yes, we will get a check-in each and every Wednesday, certainly, from Moose there for us. We do have another caller in the line. Is it Bill from Michigan that is on the line? Is that correct, JP? There we go. Bill, what's good today?
Another day in life, Donnie.
Yes.
How are you?
Very good, brother. What's up? What can we do for you today? What do you got for us?
How long is KW going to be off on Wednesdays?
Look, K-Dub is probably going to be off for the rest of football. As I said, he needs his days off on Wednesday for wrestling. So Wednesdays with Wetzel for the foreseeable future, as you like to say. Yeah, he'll be here. What's good?
So Scott's going to be there on Wednesdays, huh?
That is it.
You sound thrilled.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
Kevin's got the WWW, right? And then you guys got the WWW as well, but it's Wednesdays with
yes.
Wetzel.
We
got a big fan on the line here with Bill. We went from the top with Moose to, I think, the bottom here with Bill.
Guys, I'm an older man. Older men tend not to like change. I mean... K-Dub and Dia, you guys have been part of my summer. I'm outdoors. I'm working in the yard. I've always got the radio on, sitting by the pool, reading a book. I listen. I've called in maybe about five times, Donnie. I don't know if you remember the first time, but I was really, really impressed with George Kirby. Remember I called about George Kirby?
You did? Yep.
And That kid has been money for me. I mean, he's an ATM for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, Scott, I hope you can accept criticism.
I know it's coming. What do we got?
Last Wednesday, I gave you a chance, Scott. I've heard you before. I may be listening about 10 minutes to you. You're not Donnie and you're not K-Dub, you know? So I really tried. It lasted until the topic of the ALC Young. I'm sorry, the ALCY, the Young, the Pitcher's Award.
Cy Young,
I'm sorry. Verlander is hurt, and the topic was, well, does anyone else have a chance? And Scott just totally dismissed and disrespected the year that Dylan Cease is having. Hey, if you were voting, it sounds like you wouldn't even put him in your spot.
I would.
What's that?
I would. He's on a lousy team. He's on an underachieving team, and he's having a 13-6. That's not anything great, Billy. I mean, Justin Verlander's 16-3. Even Valdez is 14-5. I got two guys that have more wins and less losses than your guy, and you want to preach your guy? Really? Am I
out of
ballpark? I'm saying
yes, the facts, Scott. Tony La Russa was the manager of the White Sox. They would put Joe Kelly out to hold. Dylan Cease went 20 starts giving up. 19 out of 20 starts giving up two runs or less. They would bring Joe Kelly in.
That's not true.
That's the eighth inning.
That's
and the
not
first,
true. Yeah, don't let facts.
The first thing. Head,
Billy, I understand that. He's given up.
The first thing Joe Kelly does. The first thing Joe Kelly does is walk the leadoff hitter. Look at it. He's pitched 29 innings. He's got 20 walks. He's cost Dylan Cease three wins. You want to talk? Okay. Old school, too. Wins, losses, ERA. 156 innings, 37 earned runs. 197 strikeouts. I don't know what a whip is, but 1.08, I think that's pretty good. I do know what a WAR is, Scott.
Billy, you know why that doesn't count, Billy? Because I could give you 10 guys that post numbers like he does. I really can. These guys are not going 7-8 innings anymore. They're going 5 innings. So when you only go 5 innings and you're only facing the bat twice, you're not facing them a third time, yeah, you're going to go games where you allow one run over the first 5 innings, and then you're getting yanked. And that's what Dylan Cease is doing. 5-6 innings tops.
Bill from Michigan bringing the heat. Scott returning fire. This is what we do. It's Wednesdays with Wetzel right here on Sports Grid.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who says Wednesdays can't be fun? Not us here on the Sports Grid Network. Moneyline, Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wright side here. Phone lines popping as usual, 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. And I know Phil, Bill from Michigan is hung on here. He's got a wager that he wants to talk about. Bill, pop on here and give us that thought.
I'm not going to yell. I'm going to leave emotion out of this.
There we go.
Wetzel?
Yep.
I'm willing to back my guy, if not winning the Cy Young, finishing runner up. And I will up to $5,000 is what I will put up. Now back your mouth with the cash.
Oh, I don't think we could back any of the cash up at that point here. But, Scott, if we take a look at this, right, AL Cy Young. Now, there really is a two-man race here, so it's kind of not fair of a bet where Verlander's a minus 155 at FanDuel, Cease is a plus 110, McClanahan's 27-1 behind him. So, I mean, he is going to finish in the top two here. But I'm going to ask you this question on this, Scott. Even if Cease pitches okay down the stretch, if Verlander doesn't come back or pitch, these odds are telling me that he eventually, if he just pitches well, I'm not even talking about off the charts good, he's probably going to pass Verlander here, though, right?
Probably not. He's four
behind. You don't
think
so?
Is he going to get four wins in a month, in less than a month? I kind of doubt it. Here's another thing. It's funny how Billy went from he's going to win the Cy Young to then throwing a bet out there where he can finish in second place. You know, and what was this horse racing? You got to bet on the show. The show too.
Yeah.
I'll give you any stats here, Billy. And then this is my crux with the Dylan Cease. And first off, it's Dylan Cease. No one's ever heard of Dylan Cease, right? So second off, he's gone past six innings six times in 27 starts this year, Dylan Cease, 6-21. When you face a guy once or twice only, you're going to have success. A lot of pitchers would have and do have success. A lot of pitchers fall into that category, which is why the ERAs for these pitchers is so low, because they're not going past five or six innings. Verlander, on the other hand, 23 starts, 12 more than six innings, 11 not. Valdez, his teammate, 26 starts, 15 past six innings, only 11 not. And those two guys have better records than Dylan Cease. So that to me, I would put Valdez, I'd put McClanahan, I'd put Verlander over Cease at this point.
Here we go. Down the stretch they come, for another horse racing term there. We'll see who finishes up, but we'll keep an eye on it. Got roughly, three and a half weeks left in the regular season, so a lot to be decided. Verlander hanging on here to the American League Cy Young. And again, not hanging on to the votes, just hanging on to the betting favorite at a minus 155. We actually don't know where the true actual votes are going to come from, but this point, but we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Now, flipping it back here for us, and real quick, I'm going to keep you updated. Top fourth inning, Mets 1-0 still over the Pirates, man on first base. So we'll see in this first game of the doubleheader if the Mets can win this one, because game number two, Scott, Mr. Jacob DeGrom will be on the mound. Another one of your favorites here. So we'll see if that plays into it. In a big spot here now that they're tied, and he's got to do some damage. But in football, I love this. Coaches never tell you the truth. Just yesterday, Robert Saleh was asked, what do you think is going to be, or excuse me, who do you think your quarterback is going to be this Sunday? Boy. Oh, Zach, it looks like he's probably in line. He might be able to get that start Sunday. 24 hours later, not only is he not going to start this weekend, Scott, he's not going to play for at least one full month here. Well, this isn't high school anymore, right? Like, oh, man, we're not going to let these guys get the advantage over this next, 24 hours here. Joe Flacco is going to start that game against the Baltimore Ravens, but I do love that coach is already, Scott, in midseason form here.
It is amazing, right? When he makes this announcement and we talk to the media for the first, I want to be there to say, listen, you 2 days ago, you're discussing him maybe not playing tomorrow or this week.
Which means he's so close to being back. So close.
Right. So if it's not this weekend, it's going to be next weekend. And now you're telling us that we're, looking at week four at the earliest, the report is now. The earliest week four. I mean, I would really like to get a defensive coordinator on and ask them, does it really make that big a difference? I mean, it does clearly.
Like, they don't know who it is, Scott, right? Like, ooh, I never saw this. Like, you don't know the offense between Zach and also Joe Flacco at this point. Like, ooh, we're really going to stump them. They're going to have to prepare for both. What does that actually even mean? Is there two different defenses they use for each one of those quarterbacks? Stop the madness.
Yeah, it's not like Wilson is scrambling all over the place.
Exactly.
Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's the same offense, right? It's got to be the same offense. How could you practice two different offenses when you have such limited practice time anyway? I mean, I don't get it. I really, the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. You want to believe them? They said they made a mistake that they put Rudolph as the number two the number two depth chart. When today they said, "Oops, we made a mistake. It should have been Kenny Pickett." I mean, how do you make that mistake? Really?
That is
Come
great.
On. I mean, so.
That is a great mistake there.
Right.
By the way, you see the two quarterbacks, right? Joe Flacco now is the starter. That moves up a point. 6.5 goes to 7.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So looks like people aren't giving a lot of faith in Joe Flacco going up against his previous team and he knows all the answers. Nonsense at that. We'll see how they come out. But I love that you brought up Mitchell Trubisky being the number one quarterback, which I do think he is going to be the starting quarterback, which again, Mike Tomlin has finally confirmed after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. But it's almost like you don't see some of these companies that they'll put out like a field to see how it's going to go with the public, if they like it or not. Hey, put this depth chart out here to see if we put Kenny Pickett 3 and the public will accept it. Oh my goodness, he's third. You got to be kidding me. Mason Rudolph 2 and Pickett's going to start. And then he comes out and says, look, that was an error. Football teams don't make those type of errors. That came right off Mike Tomlin's desk to hand out. And then they corrected it because maybe it didn't go over well in the locker room at that point. But I thought it was hilarious where they had to explain themselves. Then it turns out that Mason Rudolph will be inactive on Sunday and Trubisky's going to be the starter.
Yeah. Out of all positions, with all the controversy and all the debate and speculation,
oversight.
Maybe not controversy. How do you make that over? Come on, please, right? I mean, are they looking to trade Mason Rudolph? That was suggested, so they're going to make him look like he was any better. I mean, like, that's really going to matter for a team. Oh, he's your third guy versus your second guy? I mean,
Scott, who was calling him?
Goofy.
Who was calling him for Mason Rudolph? You got it. No, there was no phone calls, right? Come on.
Yeah. No, there can't be. I mean, who in their right mind would give up anything for him, right? I mean, are you going to trade for a player to be a backup? I mean, you can't find some scrub that's not capable, right? I mean, so, Yeah, that's kind of funny. And I'll tell you, back to the Jets for a second.
Yes.
I think the Jets have a better chance to win with Flacco than they do with Wilson.
We see it eye to eye. We are seeing it eye to eye on this because I know, let's get the young kid in there. I keep saying to myself, if I want to keep this game close, if Joe Flacco is engaged, veteran guy, he's not on one leg like Zach Wilson would be. I actually believe that. So it was interesting to see that line go from 6.5 to 7.5 where people were just like, a healthy Zach Wilson was actually going to, now he's not in, I'm going to go the other way. What were we expecting? Like, did you want Zach Wilson to go out there limping around and trying to make bad reads to get rid of the football earlier than possible? Not me. I'm with you on that, Scott. I am.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is towards the end of the year, and you just want to put the kid in there to get experience, okay. But actually, as far as winning this game, I mean, people watched Zach Wilson last year. He was awful. I mean, he was brutal. So, yeah, and you throw in, Donnie, just the old Joe Flacco versus former team, right? We're all going Geiger over Baker Mayfield facing the Browns.
Yeah. Where's the hype?
I think, I'm not positive. I gotta go back. This might be the first time he's faced the Ravens. And even if it isn't, he's still got to be an extra special for him, right? I mean, they kind of ran him out of town with the Lamar Jackson thing. That didn't go over too well with him. So,
Flacco being around too at this point, Scott. I mean, my goodness. That's a great paycheck. You get that backup quarterback, make a few million dollars. Never really expect to be in, but it looks like Flacco continues to wind up in starting roles here, and he's going to do that on Sunday and probably for the entire month of September for the New York Jets. Update here. The New York Mets have exploded. 5-0 lead now. Top of the fourth inning, nobody out. As I believe it was back-to-back home runs, Eduardo Escobar and Tyler Naquin. I think Naquin hit a 3-run shot and then a solo shot here from Escobar. So they're off and running here saying, hey, Atlanta Braves, maybe not today that you're going to take the lead at this point. Now, keeping it in the NFL, I like some topics that come up. And every once in a while, I do find it interesting. I think the NFL is leaning towards every single football team, Scott, having a retractable dome because they want to have that. They don't want the fans to sit in the cold weather of Chicago and they want a chance at a Super Bowl. It used to be growing up where he said, boy, we have a decided advantage in Chicago because nobody wants to come here in November, December and play in the cold weather. Now we can win. So now the Saints are saying, like, oh, I love, like, Saints. I'll just use them as a team. Oh, you know what's nice? We got, we play Chicago in December. Going to be freezing cold. We're a dome team. Now everybody's going to have a dome. The Chicago Bears moving out of the city of Chicago into North Arlington to build a retractable dome. Old school thoughts for you, Scott. And you know what? It's just the way the NFL goes now. No more playing games outdoors.
Yeah. I'm an outdoors guy for football.
Me too.
For baseball.
Me too.
Baseball, I would make every team have a dome. I mean, it's idiotic that the Minnesota Twins are not playing in a dome anymore. The football team is, but the baseball team isn't. Go figure, right? But, yeah, I mean, that's all part of it. You know, it's crazy. I'm a Miami fan, so there's a little advantage. Those teams coming down there in September, and they purposely got the opposing team in the sun, which is pretty funny. That's all part of, football. I think it's the dream, Donnie, of these clubs getting a Super Bowl, and especially if you're Chicago. Big market, I'm sure they would love to come here. They had the draft there. It was here in New York, New Jersey with the Meadowlands. They got lucky weather-wise, but, there's no way in the world they'd ever get an outdoor Super Bowl, but they might if the weather is, you have the dome.
I got to tell you, too, I didn't go to the game, but I had some family members go to the game. The Eagles played the New England Patriots in Minnesota. You couldn't even go outside during the week. It was so cold. Enough with these cold weather Super Bowls because a team built a brand new stadium. Nonsense! More NFL talk on the way. Also, we're going to mix in some college football. It's Wednesdays with Wetzel right here on Moneyline.
Remember, you can listen. When you're a winner, you don't rely on luck. But we don't have to tell you that. After all, you listen to us. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, sir. Back at it right here on Moneyline. It's Wednesday. It's Donnie Wrightside, Scott Wetzel. If you want to get involved, it's easy to do. 844-843-6879, the phone lines. But also, Twitter is popping as well. So we were going over some NFL futures here, Scott. And Scott B actually chimes in on Twitter. What? Scott doesn't like the Packers? No faith in Rodgers? Guess the D makes no difference? Wish Vegas felt that way. I could make some serious dollars on them. Now, for the Packers, I do agree they have a very good defense. I do agree a generational quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not feeling the Packers this year, Scott. I'm not. Like, I think the Minnesota Vikings win opening day. Not to say the season is over if the Vikings win and go 1-0 and, oh, the Packers downfall. But I need to see that wide receiving core actually perform. So once again, Scott, if you want to slander the Packers, go ahead. Let's hear it. I like it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, give me two of their wide receivers. I mean, you know, and you got goofy, Aaron Rodgers, who is now, going on a media tour to explain why he didn't do the COVID. And, he's got this shirt on, Rodgers Lazard, make Green Bay great again. I'm like, if Alan Lazard is your best wide receiver, you better have a hell of an offensive line for that running game then. I got to tell you. And how's that going to be? You know, 3rd and 3 and Aaron Rodgers is going to be getting play calls to hand the ball off. How's he going to like that? That has got disaster written all over it. It really does. I have no idea why they wouldn't go out and go get themselves a big-time wide receiver and make a real strong run after coming so close last year, Donnie. I don't get it. That Green Bay management is one of the strangest in all the NFL. They want to live in purgatory. You know,
it's sad
because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is obviously going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right? And yet he's going to have the one Super Bowl, and that's going to be his legacy. It's going to be a black mark. It's not going to be a positive. It's going to be, how did this guy only win one? And the answer is because they never gave him really superstar talent on the outside to work with.
Brady can do it, but not
Rodgers.
It doesn't make sense, and you thought they were setting it up because maybe he could have balled off and said, hey, look, you know, a decade ago, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. We're just going to keep on playing it this way. We'll be physically responsible or, you know, not spend a lot of money but get a good team around it, and he's good enough to win, and he is to a certain degree. But as he's getting older in age, didn't it seem like even in the offseason, like, there was no way Devontae Adams was leaving because Aaron Rodgers said, hey, I got a couple more years playing in my prime, or at least I think I do. Let's load up here. Get me a dominant tight end and keep me with Devontae Adams, and let's go run at this thing. And if we have to push our chips on in the middle of the table, then so be it. And they went the opposite direction. It seems like he was the biggest question mark I had in the offseason, Scott, was it seems like Aaron Rodgers was fine with this when the minute they traded Devontae Adams away, I was like, oh my goodness, they just pulled the rug out from Rodgers, and he's probably packing his bags as we speak. And then he gets interviewed, like, hey, you know, hey, it's my guy, and good luck in Vegas, but we got a good football team here. I couldn't understand. Like, Tom Brady would never allow that. Hey, by the way, Mike Evans and Godwin, we're going to trade them away. Let's see what you got, Tom. He'd already be retired at this point.
Yeah. Listen, he did everything he could to keep Antonio Brown on the Buccaneers. I don't doubt for a second. He would have been gone a long time ago without Brady interfering in that. So, yeah, you know, you give Rodgers his money. He's in love now and on his vacation. And you just wonder if the drive is gone. That's why I mentioned with the Rams. You know, when you give these NFL players those billions of dollars, in essence, the drive is gone. And maybe the drive is gone for him. Maybe he just failed Rodgers beating one last time last year, and he said to himself, if we're not winning last year, then we're never winning. Right? I mean, so how good would that team have been if they went in the opposite direction, convinced Adams to stay, and then traded for Tyreek Hill?
Exactly.
Would they not be the overwhelming favorite to win it all? And maybe then break it all up the following year. But don't you want to win, you know, one time or two times now?
Or how about, like, draft night? Hey, instead of the Eagles making a trade for A.J. Brown, how about he goes up to, you know, Green Bay at this point? You could pick up you have the same draft picks basically as everybody else, but it seems like they were just confident that we'll just take another defender, or who knows, we'll draft another quarterback at this point, because apparently that helps you win a Super Bowl more than getting weapons out here for Aaron Rodgers. So that's going to play out here. Also on Twitter, Casey Monster says, talk about some player props for Sunday's games that are out on BetMGM. We'll filter those in as the week goes on. Tomorrow, Thursday, we'll have monster shows all across the network, you know, ramping up here, because there are a million prop bets tomorrow, and they'll start to filter out through Sunday, because the FanDuel Sportsbook also is starting to put through their, you know, popular parlay type situations, red zone specials, which are so much fun to lose money on. Yes, as I said, to lose money on because they look so good, but you put two and three guys into a prop bet. Ooh, which one loses? Yeah, one of them usually comes up a little bit lame, but we'll certainly put our best foot forward on that. And having said that, talking about bets and, you know, this and that, how about close the survey? There's a survey that came out here that says close to, what, 47 million people will be pressing the lever down on making wagers this season, and it seems to go up every single year. And for our business, Scott, is like to say, that's a good thing. Bring more people into the tent here.
Yeah, but do you buy those numbers? I mean, I you know, I
who are they asking? Story. They didn't ask me, Scott, right? I mean, they just assume, like, oh, this guy bets, yeah, we'll put him down.
That's one in every seven people. You know, there's about 330 million people in the country. So if 46 and a half, you divide it, it's about one out of every seven. Maybe, but you know, when you look at it that way, it's like, really, is that there's not that many people in the United States, you know, compared to how many people are betting. There's only 30 states that have legalized gambling, 31. You know, maybe they're counting on the guys that are betting with their local Louis de Lip, but still, I question whether it really is 50 million people or something.
It is a lot, and I like it if they overhype it at that point. But if you're like, right, your friends will bet, but it's one thing to say, hey, what's the game? Oh, I like the Eagles today at -3.5. It's a different thing to be like, do you get your debit card out? Do you put it online? Do you sign up for an account? So we'll see if that's good, but it's good news for the more people getting involved. And by the way, Bringing up more people getting involved, Kevin and I talked about this yesterday. You probably saw this as well on ESPN. And again, I didn't confirm this, but I think it was Joey Galloway, where they were asking him a few days ago, like, hey, you know, week two, what are some of the thoughts here on some of these things? And he popped in and said, hey, look at this line. Opened up at 17 for Alabama and Texas. It's already at 20. Don't be surprised if that line is 30 by game time. We kicked it around, had a good couple quotes, because people coming into the tent sometimes don't understand the actual lingo, but if I can give you 30 right now on the spot here, you betting Texas here against Alabama for the free 10 points, apparently?
Yeah, you'd have to, right? And I did see that story. Lines don't move that crazily. They don't. You'll get a 1 or 2 day adjustment where they just post them out if they feel like they made a mistake. But the line's not jumping 10 points without an injury or without something crazy happening. It's not just because people are betting it. I will say that Alabama team, the way they played against Utah State, I mean, 55-0, it could have been 155 if they really wanted to. I mean, if that's any indication, right? What we saw this weekend with college football, Donnie, when you think about it, you know, Ohio State didn't look great, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to be the third or fourth best team in the country.
Yes.
Notre Dame's offense looked lousy. They're supposed to be the fifth best team in the country. Alabama and Georgia looked phenomenal. So, is there any reason to think that it won't be Alabama and Georgia when everything is said and done? I mean, unless you think some team, whether Miami or maybe USC, but my goodness, wasn't a good sign for those that want, an extended postseason as I do, playoff. This past weekend was not a good, there's just no reason for more
than I need the expanded playoff just because I like games that matter more than, because I really get upset because I tell the story all the time. Back in the 80s and 90s, growing up, high school, bowl week was so cool and the teams played hard and, you saw who was going to win or your favorite team, but it's been so overplayed now where guys would, even the Rose Bowl at this point now, you're just sitting it out because the game doesn't mean anything unless it's in the college football playoff. So I would love to see some of those teams really get after it, but you're right about that. And also, here's my favorite topic as well. Like the SEC championship game could be Georgia, because Georgia doesn't play Alabama this year, regular season.
Right.
Two undefeated teams, let's just say they go 24-23. There's a section of the public goes, I don't want that team because we just saw that game. What are you talking about? If they played seven times in a row over 7 weeks, give me the two best football teams going head up all the time. I always love the fact that people say, like, why is the SEC? Because they're the best conference in here. I want to see the best football teams play. And if that's what it takes where they're both undefeated, play for an SEC championship game, Bama wins, go ahead and put Georgia back out there. And they probably would put Georgia at 3, not 4, because they don't want to see that matchup again in round one. Right. But I'm fine if they both make it in. That's just the way it goes. Do you think, because we'll talk some college football, do you think those two teams are just going to battle it out? And do you think both of those will be undefeated by the time they meet up in the SEC title game?
I'd like to see one more game, but yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think they'll both be on the field, especially Alabama. That was a real good Utah State team. I know people think about Utah State. What's that, Scott? They were the Mountain West champs last year. They were on the cusp of being ranked in the top 25 this year. They had everybody coming back. I mean, that's a good team. And they just toyed with that club, Doc. They didn't have to punt until midway through the third quarter after they long called off the Dogs. They were scoring field goals and touchdowns on every possession. I mean, holy. So, yeah, I think Alabama's going to run the table. Who in the SEC, you know, outside of Georgia, really? You know, Arkansas is good. Florida will be pretty good. But when everything is said and done, you know, disappointed in what LSU showed the other night. Yeah, I'd be very surprised. You know, that was 11.5, that total. And I still wouldn't bet 12. I wouldn't bet a team to go undefeated.
Yeah.
But who are they losing to? You know, realistically, who are they losing to?
It's funny, too, because we talk about, like, overreaction, like, Mondays, right, after week one. I mean, how can you overreact on Alabama? They do this each and every season. Now, going undefeated is a different thing, but we always expect them to be very good. And you're right. This wasn't 55-0 where the backups put up 14 points in the fourth quarter to tack on. This was Nick Saban, 55 points in the third quarter. Okay, they had enough, and Utah State still couldn't punch in any junk time points at that point. So if we're looking at the odds to win the championship, Alabama plus 160, Georgia plus 250, Ohio State 3-1, and Clemson 12-1. After that, looks like, you know, the only other legitimate team, I guess, would be USC at 16-1. You say, well, when does USC get a little bit of hype there? They beat Rice. Well, the fact of the matter is, two teams already lost out there in the Pac-12, so you're saying maybe USC is the best of the bunch. In order to win a national championship, I'd like to say, you got to be in the Final Four, and Clemson's got a pretty easy path, and maybe we're looking at USC with a decent path now to get in and maybe challenge with the big boys. If we're looking at Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, USC, right? Who's the odd man out at that point? Is it Clemson? Clemson has an easy schedule. Bama and Georgia still have to play good football teams in the SEC, but markedly better than the rest. Or is it Ohio State that we saw win by 11 points, saying, well, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were, and they might be able to get tripped up by, let's say, a Michigan later in the season? Who's the odd man out of those five?
It's a good one. I think I'm going to go with Clemson. As long as they keep Ukulele in there, he sucks. Oh, God, he is awful. You know, Dubnyk, the backup, showed more in one drive than DJ has shown in a year and a half. I mean, how he's going to keep that starting job, I don't know. But they put the other kid in there. They're a real good football team with that defense. But if they don't, I could see that team losing to Miami. I could see that team losing to North Carolina State again this year. They were lucky to be. I know it was 41-10 when everything was said and done, but you know that was a one score game in the third quarter against Georgia Tech. I mean, he sucks. He's just not. He's not any good, Donnie. You're not going to win at a big time level with him.
Yeah, you know what's crazy too? His freshman year when he was with backing up Trevor Lawrence, he comes in against Notre Dame and he's spinning it. And I always joke about, boy, imagine if you didn't have any, you have to stay in college another year. He probably would have been a top 10 draft pick in the NFL based off like one or two games. And now you're starting to see, and even when I saw the game kick off against Georgia Tech, I said to myself, boy, he looks a little bit lighter. He's faster back there. Maybe he put in the time. And after one quarter of football, I said, this looks like the same guy from last year. If you have a legitimate passing threat on Clemson, they're going to do damage, and they don't have that guy right now, and we'll see if they do have a quarterback controversy on their hands a little bit later in the season. As we're cruising through hour number one here on Moneyline Sports Grid Network, it's Donnie and Scott. Come on back, quick segment before we hit the top of the hour. Let's go.
You're listening to the Cozy Vermont Vacation Timeshare of the winning the home of the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Short segment before we hit the top of the hour here on Moneyline, Sirius XM channel 159, right here on the grid. It's Donnie and Scott in the afternoon. But now it's time to see where JP is going. Last night, coming off a victory, taking an under in the St. Louis Cardinals game, the comment was made, JP, by you yesterday that said, might be giving up on baseball here. Now, with this win, does that change your mind? Or possibly, where are we going to? Is it an MLS game tonight? What is it?
Not- I'm going to the NFL game tomorrow. Okay. That'll be it for me unless I see Judge against some horrible pitcher, Pujols against another lefty.
Now, how are we going to go do this? So tomorrow night's NFL game is the Rams plus 2.5. Money line, if you want to go that way, the Rams plus 108, Buffalo Bills minus 126. Total in that game, 51.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So without giving it away, is it a side? Is it a total? Is it a prop? Where are you actually going with this one?
Yeah, without giving it away, I guess I'll say it's not a prop. That's probably as vague as I can be.
Okay. All right, so here we go, Scott. We got to decide after this break coming up here which way JP is going here. So he's not going with... not a prop bet. So we got either the Buffalo Bills, the Rams, or the total or money line in this. Your early thoughts on this, because he's not giving anything away, any hint. So we just have to pay, like, you know, Kreskin over here and try to pick his brain.
Right. Knowing I think the public is all over Buffalo this year, I'm going to say he likes the Bills laying the 2.5. As I do.
I'm gonna try to switch it over and say, you know what? I think it's going to be a total here that JP's going with. Now I have to decide because JP's been throwing us off, Scott, past couple nights with some little bit, you know, off. I don't want to say off the wall plays, but throwing us off the scent per se. So I'm going to try to decide. You're going to go with a side in this game. I'm going to go with a total. But we're going to find out here after the break exactly where he's going. Now, in hour number two, we are going to talk some Major League Baseball, keep you updated. There are a few more afternoon games that are going to take off. But I need to get Scott Wetzel's thoughts here on Lamar Jackson and if that paycheck is going to hit his bank a little bit harder before Sunday's game against those New York Jets. And a lot more stuff to go. AP Coach of the Year, NCAA football betting. Come on, man. You got to come back for hour number two. It's Moneyline Radio on the Grid, SiriusXM Channel 159. Sports.